Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson in the house with us, in studio with us here for the full hour today, especially after this major legal victory in federal court just a few days ago. Want to talk about that and much more. First off, though, AG Knutson, great to have you. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Aaron. Great to be back in Yellowstone County.
You know, before we get into the big news of the day, I know this isn't under your department. It's not, you know, a function of the Attorney General or the Montana Department of Justice, but you're a former Montana Speaker of the House. You're also a farm ranch kid from, you know, northeast Montana. Big news, this catastrophic failure of the siphon at St. Mary Canal yesterday. That's a big deal. And I heard Russell Nimitz report on this earlier this morning with the head of the Joint Board of Control. And, you know, she said it's even worse than it looks, that that hole's even deeper, that's being covered up by water right now. So that's a big deal. That's the lifeline of the High Line.
If it's worse than it looks, then it must be really bad, Aaron, because the pictures are terrible. So, I mean, if you're not familiar with the St. Mary's Diversion, folks, that feeds almost all the High Line. A significant portion of northern Montana, north central Montana, all the way over to northeastern Montana, all those communities that get a lot of their water, a lot of their irrigation comes from the St. Mary's Diversion. This was a catastrophic failure. To see the washout, to see some of the buildings and businesses just completely flooded, this is a disaster.
You know, I know you've probably met Marco Manukian in Malta and Phillips County. He's the former MSU Extension agent. He's retired now, but he told me back in December when I did our show for Malta that, you know, with all the money that's gone overseas to Ukraine alone, we could have funded 100 of these St. Mary's projects. And that's what's going on in this country right now. We've got wide open borders. We've got crumbling infrastructure, yet all of this massive federal government spending, and they still haven't taken care of basic infrastructure.
Our priorities are way out of whack, Aaron, but I think this is even more diabolical than that. I mean, we're flyover country. I think this is indicative of what Joe Biden thinks of Montana. This is indicative of what he and his administration think of rural America. That diversion is absolutely essential to the survival of the High Line. Doesn't care. I mean, on a 100-year-old siphon, and it cracked and just utterly failed.
I know the Blackfeet Nation did a good job of quickly getting the word out, public safety message, alert to folks in the area. And, you know, you hate to say it, but it's like, well, hey, sorry, you're not Ukraine. So, you know, you're not going to get the attention. You're not going to get the focus. But some good news, Jennifer Patrick with the Joint Board of Control says that fortunately storage facilities such as Fresno and Nelson do have sufficient capacity to meet irrigation needs for the rest of the season. But as to downstream effects, she says it's too early to determine all of the downstream effects. Okay, we're going to talk with Attorney General Austin Knutson about this major Title IX victory that he helped usher in just last week. That and much more with the best AG in the country, Austin Knutson, right after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a week last week. What a week. We had Riley Gaines in Montana. We had Tulsi Gabbard in Montana. In fact, we had all these incredible female college athletes who were doing a rally to take back Title IX, to save Title IX, to save women's sports, to save girls' sports. And then, boom, the news we got, I think it was late Friday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, thanks to Attorney General Austin Knutson and a few other attorneys general, they delivered a much-needed victory on Title IX. Attorney General Austin Knutson, big victory that you were able to achieve with a federal court in Louisiana. And then now there's been another ruling out of Kentucky as well, shooting down Joe Biden's Title IX rewrite.
It's not hard to see coming, Aaron. I mean, first of all, this was a huge victory for us, and it's one we've had teed up for a while because, frankly, we knew it was coming. If you're not familiar with Title IX, folks, Title IX is an amendment to the Education Amendments of 1972. So basically, it's federal law that says you cannot discriminate in education opportunities, public education opportunities that are federally funded. You can't discriminate on the basis of sex. Okay? Period. What has happened here is the Biden administration has taken the defined term sex, and, you know, which has been traditionally defined as, you know, male versus female, and they've expanded it. They passed a 423-page rule that says, well, sex really also means gender ideology. And so basically threatened every public school in the country, including here in Montana, and said, if you receive federal funding and you don't have gender-neutral bathrooms, gender-neutral locker rooms, gender-neutral travel accommodations when your kids are on the road, you're going to lose all your federal funding. Several things wrong here, Aaron, right? Like, first of all, you can't just shoehorn in a new legal definition. That's got to be done by Congress. I mean, that's civics 101. But the Biden administration did it anyway. They shoved this thing through. It was going to be a huge expense to school districts, huge liability to school districts. So a couple of us got together, we sued, and not surprisingly, we won because we're right.
And actually, now that I think about it, I think it was actually Thursday evening when the news came out, because I remember Superintendent of Public Instruction Elsie Arntzen came in and joined us on the show that Friday to also celebrate this legal victory, basically putting a halt on this. Because what she was telling me is that there were some of these liberal lawyers that work for some of these school districts across Montana. You couldn't get these guys to write a legal opinion or draft a policy for nothing. They were too busy. They had too many other, or it was too complex. But all of a sudden, Joe Biden tries to shove, you know, you have to allow men into girls' bathrooms down their throats. And all of a sudden, these liberal lawyers wanted to hurry up and rush a policy out or an opinion out to implement this. So thankfully, now this federal, and she was telling them, whoa, there were school board members saying, whoa, guys, we do not have to rush this out. We do not have to accept this. But thankfully, now, thanks to your work, this federal judge has permanently said, whoa, for the time being.
Absolutely. Well, just think of the liability this would have been to school districts, right, Aaron? I mean, let's take Glasgow. You know, you and I are from up there on the High Line. Pick a small school in Montana. You now, as a school board and administration, you have to build gender-neutral bathrooms. You have to build gender-neutral locker room facilities. And if you don't, federal government's going to pull all your federal funding. Oh, by the way, you're also going to be liable for damages for anybody who wants to sue. Well, I can't imagine any liberal lawyer nonprofits would want to sue school districts in Montana. I don't imagine there's any of those lined up and have that lawsuit teed up. This was going to be a gigantic anchor around every school district's neck in the state of Montana. What made this rule even worse is that you had to recognize a child's gender ideology, whatever they feel like today. But you can't actually ask them what their gender ideology is, because that would be discriminatory. That's how idiotic this rule was. 423-page monstrosity of a rule shoved through by Joe Biden. Look, this was a huge victory. It's a slam dunk. I hope we don't have to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, but even if we get there, I think this is civics 101. A bureaucracy does not get to make law, and that's what happened here.
You know, it's amazing to think that if we had a different superintendent of public instruction, if this case went before the Montana Supreme Court instead of before this federal court in Louisiana, the implementation and the ruling might have been very different, which is a reminder of the importance of these state Supreme Court races this November and the OPI race as well that Susie Hedlund's running for.
I couldn't agree with you more, Aaron. You're exactly right. Don't ignore these down-ticket races, folks. We've got an extremely liberal judiciary in Montana. And if the Montana legislature had passed a crazy law like this, or if the OPI, the State Office of Public Instruction, had promulgated a state rule like this, I think you're right, Aaron. I think our current Supreme Court would have upheld it, and we'd have had this in Montana. Those court races are extremely important.
And, of course, we got Corey Swanson, a prosecutor in Broadwater County, stepping up, also a three-tour Iraq War veteran, full-bird colonel in the Army National Guard. He's running for Chief Justice. And then the other son of Montana, Dan Wilson, running for the other Supreme Court seat as well. Less than a minute to go before our break, and then we'll talk more. Plus, we'll take your phone calls if you want to jump in on the conversation. 294-0970. Austin, what's Attorney General Knutson, what's one of the biggest things that's not making the news that should be making the news?
the southern border still needs to be being talked about. I mean, it's in my opinion, that's still the single biggest threat to our country. Everyone's kind of lost in politics. I got to tell you, Aaron, I was down there again recently. I was at El Paso, and just 2 o'clock, broad daylight, I bet I watched 20 illegals sneak across the southern border. That's where all of our drugs and crime are coming from.
And that ties in with this news. Montana is now on pace for another record-breaking year of fentanyl seizures. We'll tell you about what the numbers are looking like right after this. And then we'll take your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a quick question or comment on the Montana Talks app.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Definitely want to talk about the latest numbers when it comes to fentanyl seizures here in Montana. Of course, that ties in directly with this open border, southern border invasion that Joe Biden and John Tester have allowed these past 3 years. But first, let's get into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Al in Bozeman, did you have a quick question or comment for the Attorney General? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I have a quick question. First of all, I was in the Bozeman Swim Center some years back, and this fellow brought in a, it must have been 12 or 13-year-old girl, I'm supposing it was his daughter, and there was a bunch of guys standing around there in nude, semi-nude states and all that stuff, and everybody was kind of like, they were okay with this. I was not okay with this. I said, she's too darn old to be in here. And I said to myself, who's sicker, the guys standing around with themselves exposed or the father that brings that child that's clearly too old to be in there? I think that it should be clearly defined where and when and who and how can go in what bathrooms and where. It's not just for the child. It's also for the men that are involved or whoever's involved. We have a right to privacy, and we have a right to not have our opinions violated. So I'm just saying it shouldn't be a state law in Montana that women go in women's room and men go in men's room. I think it's very simple, and it makes sense to me.
All right. Thanks, Al. I guess I would slightly disagree. I mean, if you went to MSU and spent any time downtown, you went to UM, spent any time downtown, if you were a guy, typically a little faster to get in and out of the restroom. The ladies, you go to a Cat Grizz football game, the ladies' line is always going to be longer. My point being is that, okay, because I would kind of slightly defend the dad in that situation to where, like, if I'm a dad, do you, and it's just you and your daughter, you want to keep eyes on your daughter so that you know that your daughter is safe. You may not even want her going into a women's restroom by herself. So I guess I can kind of see the issue there. But I think we need to be much more protective about men going into women's rooms. And anyway, that's my take.
Yeah, well, as a father of 2 teenage daughters, hard yes. Definitely, whenever we're out in any kind of crowd, I mean, I always keep a very, very close eye on my girls, especially when they have to go use the ladies' room, because you never know what's going to follow them in there, especially these days. Look, Al, to your point, the Montana legislature has enacted legislation that says exactly what you said. I mean, Senate Bill 99, Senator John Fuller, good friend of mine from the Flathead, lifelong educator, Vietnam War veteran, but, I mean, a school superintendent. He's walked the walk. He knows what he's talking about. He brought this legislation in Montana. It passed the Montana legislature. It was signed by Governor Gianforte. Aaron, what happened? Got blocked by the Montana courts as unconstitutional under our state constitution. I don't know how they got there. I don't see that in our state constitution anywhere. But somehow, I mean, here we are again talking about our liberal courts system in Montana.
Yeah, it's amazing that they will do backflips to say that there's a right to privacy that would justify no limits abortion, but they wouldn't say that young women and girls would have privacy rights in a bathroom, in a locker room, in a changing room, that some man could just come into it, right? And then they want to target kids with this stuff. Yeah, it's just crazy all around. Let's go to Terry in Kalispell. Next up, listening to KJJR. Terry, thanks for the call.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Aaron. I just wanted real quickly, I was on a trip and coming through Oregon and went into a bathroom, and I walked in, and it was very obvious. It was a woman's bathroom, very obvious, two men. and one guy was dressing up in his drag, and I thought, oh, I don't think so, so I left, and I waited for them to come out, and this one guy was looking at me really carefully, and I thought, I don't think so, Buster. So I waited, and I went back in. He came back in, and he stood there looking at me, and I shot him the touch me, you die look, and he left, and I went out and told my husband. I said, what happened? And he goes, not okay. We're not going back to Oregon. And I know not all Oregon is like that. But anyway, very dangerous, not good.
Oh, and that's crazy.
I agree with you. Yeah. So then second thing, quickly, the Constitution of the United States in Article 1, Section 8, says to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. So, President Biden has allowed this invasion and his whole, you know, bunch of guys up there. So, why isn't that being brought out when he was trying to bring that out on President Trump?
That's it's a great question, because it is an invasion that's taking place on our southern border right now that's being allowed by Joe Biden and, let's face it, by John Tester. I don't know if you ever saw it. There was a joint letter that was authored by former State Senator John Brennan out of Scobie, a Republican, and former State Senator Jimmy Keene, a Democrat out of Butte. They were talking about the Keystone XL pipeline, but I believe it applies here as well. Their point was, John Tester, you have the power to make the Keystone XL pipeline. It's a 50-50 Senate. You're that one vote. You could make this thing happen. Use your power. He didn't. But he also hasn't used his power to secure the border. If anything, he's used his power to allow this invasion to continue to happen.
John Tester is not a moderate Democrat. I see these ads on TV and they're maddening. We know who John Tester is. Look at his voting record. He votes with Chuck Schumer, period. This is not a moderate, you know, he doesn't go to the Capitol every day wearing his Carhartt and carrying his lever action Ruger rifle with him in the back window of his pickup. That's not who he is.
He's driving a Prius.
That's what he's trying to sell.
We just saw the video. He drives a Prius.
Oh, it's maddening. But you're exactly right. I mean, whether it's the southern border, whether it's the Keystone XL pipeline, energy issues, coal issues, John Tester could be helping the state, and he's not. He's helping his friend Chuck Schumer.
Which leads us to the fact that Montana is now on pace for yet another record-breaking year of fentanyl seizures. So this is a sign of this open border.
It is. But before we get to Aaron, Terry, really quick. You're right. Oregon is they're doing some crazy things. But look, a lot of Oregonians are moving here. There's a reason we picked up a second congressional seat. You got conservatives fleeing those crazy policies and coming to Montana. I say welcome.
We've got a colleague. She and her husband, you know, raising two young kids in the Portland area. He declined a promotion with his company because they wanted to get the heck out of there because they were forcing this transgender stuff in the schools on their kids. And like, that's it. We're getting the heck out of here. And I think they're so symbolic of so many other families that fled to Montana.
It's stunning, Aaron. Everywhere Christy and I go traveling around the state, I mean, we feel it, right? We couldn't quantify it, but literally everywhere we went, we'd meet somebody from California or from Oregon and Washington. And I know a lot of us at first might kind of bristle at that, but these are conservative, good people who are fleeing those nuts policies in those states and coming to where there's still rational freedom, like here in Montana. So I'm really excited about it, and it's borne fruit. We took a congressional seat from California.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. John Tester just voted to allow them to count the illegal aliens in the census.
Of course he did.
So that he can hand that power over to New York and California instead. So yeah, of course he did, right?
That's your senator, folks.
Record-breaking number of fentanyl seizures. What are the numbers looking like right now?
So, Aaron, 2023 was a gonzo year. 2023 was an absolute record-shattering year for our law enforcement seizures of illicit fentanyl. From just 4 years, okay, in just 4 years, the amount of fentanyl that we seized by law enforcement from 2019 to 2023, 20,000% increase, Aaron. I mean, just staggering numbers. So I didn't think it could get worse, but 2024 is already on track, half a year in. It's looking like we're going to break last year's record again. Look, this is what we're seeing, folks. More and more fentanyl, more and more cartel activity, bigger loads, more money, more guns, more really, really, really dangerous bad people.
Well, and as we've seen, they're targeting the entire state of Montana, but they're deliberately targeting Indian country as well, and our reservation communities. In fact, Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA, testified before Congress here within just a couple of weeks ago, and alongside her we had the chief of police of Fort Belknap here in Montana talking about this topic as well. We have had Fort Peck tribal council leaders talk about how we need to close our southern border. But yet, Tom Lutie did a piece for the liberal Montana Free Press. Can Democrats keep winning in Indian country? Black Americans are moving to Trump. Hispanic Americans are moving to Trump. If you're Native American, why would you continue to vote for the Democrat Party when you're being deliberately targeted by their policies right now?
Yeah, it's baffling, Aaron. Look, I'm tribal. My mother's an enrolled tribal member. A lot of my family's tribal. I grew up in the Indian healthcare system. I grew up on the reservation. And right next to the reservation, I was a prosecutor in Indian country. It's incredibly frustrating, especially when you look at the family values on the reservations. I mean, these are conservative family values, socially conservative people, and to see them continue to not everyone, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but they definitely support Democrats overwhelmingly, support John Tester overwhelmingly, and when you look at the policies he's delivered for them, it just doesn't make any sense. But the cartels are absolutely targeting the reservations. A big part of that is because of the legal jurisdiction problems that we have there. I can't touch the reservations.
Yeah.
I can't touch people on the reservations.
And they're getting harder hit by inflation, higher gas prices. So it goes back to energy policy, goes back to inflationary spending policies and much more. All right, we got less than a minute to go before the break. Brad Molnar, we'll get to you after the break. Steve in Belgrade, did you have a quick question or comment?
I did. Thanks for taking my call. In the state of Texas, they have not only the National Guard, which everyone's familiar with, but they have a state militia, a sanctioned state militia that's sanctioned by the state of Texas. Why don't we have that here?
Florida's done something similar, right, Steve, where they've created kind of like a state guard type force as well that's solely like a volunteer force for the state to put to use for natural disasters, security, other things. Yeah, great question.
Well, I think if we wait until we need it, we're behind the curve. So it could be something. I think,
I believe the governor of Florida implemented that. But a good question. Hold that thought. We got to hit this hard break. Back right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
There's been recent progress towards a 2024 farm bill, but is it fast enough? Farm policy news from the University of Illinois says lawmakers have hinted that passage of a full farm bill this year is growing more unlikely. Another extension of the 2018 farm bill remains the most likely outcome before the end of the current extension in September. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow is pessimistic that the House Ag Committee passed bill will make it through the House, and she fears a Senate bill will face the same fate. Stabenow rejected Republican proposals because of cuts to nutrition spending and removing climate guardrails in the Inflation Reduction Act funding. Several industry experts point out that the bill is unlikely to pass because lawmakers have only completed a small portion of the necessary steps to pass a bill, and 8 steps are left to go. And it may be raining across much of Montana, but concerns about irrigation water are at hand as the St. Mary siphon at the St. Mary Canal outside of Babb suffered a catastrophic failure while reclamation personnel were monitoring a crack. Thankfully, yesterday no one was hurt, but damage is extensive. Authorities say the canal was shut down prior to the failure, but the hillside, Hooks Hideaway Bar, Hotel, and Roping Arena were significantly impacted and underwater. The St. Mary Canal and Melk River are a lifeline for farmers, ranchers, and communities along Montana's High Line. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump back into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. We'll get to Steve in Belgrade's good question here in a second as well. But first, if you got a quick question or comment, give us a call, or you can even send us a message on our Montana Talks app, and we can share your question or comment that way as well. Let's see. State Senator Brad Molnar, now running once again for the Public Service Commission. Thanks for your call. Did you have a quick question or comment for the AG? Brad, are you there? Oh, you know what? Okay, Brad, I know what happened here. There was a couple. That was my mistake. I had a couple of buttons pressed on my board that, or I did not press a couple of buttons on my board that I should have. So the folks over the radio would have heard me, but the caller wouldn't have heard me. So Brad, call back in, and we'll get to your call. Stephen Belgrade was talking about this idea of creating like a state volunteer force. You know that because the National Guard is. You know, yes, it's under the state of Montana, but it's also they wear U.S. Army, they wear U.S. Air Force for a reason because they are part of the U.S. Army. They're part of the U.S. Air Force. But in Texas and in Florida, I think Governor DeSantis in Florida created more of this state volunteer force. Your thoughts on that idea to combat this flood of illegal activity that Biden and Tester are allowing into Montana?
Well, so. Definitely would first have to be a legislative action, Steve. So right now there's no provision for that, at least that I'm aware of, in state law for any kind of a volunteer state militia. So that would have to be enacted and given some authority to act under the law by the Montana legislature. That's not something that I can create out of thin air. That's not something the governor can create out of thin air. If we tried to do that, we'd be like Joe Biden, and we're not like Joe Biden. We believe in the legislative branch. And also, I think geographically, we have to look at the differences here, right? Like, we've got a northern border, but I can tell you our northern border is fairly quiet. I stay in very close communication with Customs and Border Patrol, with those federal partners. Believe it or not, those are people that are primarily on our side. Our northern border sector is pretty quiet.
Here in Montana, at least.
Here in Montana. That isn't to say there's nothing going on. I'm not going to say that. But we wouldn't have authority to just send this militia down to the southern border if that's what people are thinking. I mean, that's multi-state. We'd be dealing with Texas. We'd be dealing with, you know, wherever we sent these people. There'd be some legal hurdles for us to cross. But I mean, certainly the legislature could do it. And
well,
they'd have to.
Some have suggested, I don't know if this is where he was getting, that we use a force like that to go after illegal aliens in Montana. But okay, Florida, they had busloads of illegal aliens showing up. They knew exactly who they were. They knew exactly who to reroute. In Montana, it's a little bit different. We don't know who they are and where they are until they get arrested. Well, then at that point, you want to hold them criminally accountable, because if you release them, they're just going to show back up anyway or deport them. And then you got the feds actively resisting deportation.
It's not a state law. It's not against state law to be in the state illegally. Okay, only two states have tried that in the country, Texas and Iowa. Both of those laws are being challenged by the feds. They're both tied up in federal court right now. So what I'm saying is your county sheriff, your county or your state police force, your city police force cannot just stop someone and arrest them because they're here illegally. We don't have that authority in the state of Montana. If someone's arrested for committing a state crime and then we find out that they're here illegally, well, that's a little different. At that point, we typically will hand them over to customs, immigration, and they'll go through the federal system. Unfortunately, what's happening right now is unless they do something really, really bad, those people are just being released.
All right. So look, folks, at the end of the day, I know we want to keep talking about this, that, all these other things, but it truly, again, is just a fundamental reminder of how important this U.S. Senate race is here in Montana, and the presidential election is as well. Let's see. Good. State Senator Brad Molnar is back on the phone lines. Brad, that was my mistake. Thanks for calling back in.
Well, yeah, that pushing the right button at the right time seems to elude me as well. So don't worry about it.
That could be a challenge in the legislature, right? You push the wrong button.
And I've got a voting record to prove. Last week, I believe it was, I called in about FERC Order 1920 and Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and how debilitating that would be not only to energy production and reliability in Montana, but across the nation. And I've been in conversations with the executive director of Montana Public Service Commission because we have filed for a rehearing. And in a note that he sent back to me, and this goes to your current guest, that if the request for rehearing is denied, we are going to move for a review of that order by the U.S. Court of Appeals. And that strategy for such a contingency is also being planned by several members of the Republican Attorney General's Association, of which Montana Attorney General Oscar Knutson is deputy chairman. So I think it is so wildly important at this, you know, it's been important, but it's now starting to happen where we're seeing cross-agency cooperation on this, that the Attorney General is willing to jump into a real labyrinth of technicalities to defend the people of Montana.
So there's grounds for a lawsuit then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So, Brad called in last week. Basically, I think you're familiar with FERC 1920. Basically, the Biden administration, just like they were trying to force men into girls' bathrooms, they want to take over and remove the states from transmission line siting, I believe. Is that correct? Attorney General Knutson, your thoughts?
I don't know all of the facts, very detailed, but Senator, Commissioner, I'm not sure what to call you now. Senator Molnar, yes, very familiar with this, at least from a legal perspective. I've had several conversations with my Solicitor General, with Public Service Commission Chairman Brown. In fact, I'm meeting with him later this week to discuss this. But, yes, we are aware of it. You're right. My colleagues and I are very aware of it. We're waiting to see what FERC does. But let's just say that the cannons are loaded.
People are you're ready to rock and roll when needed.
Yep,
so you've had what, 50 lawsuits against, many of them successful, against the Biden administration. Maybe this is 51.
I think we're already at 51. I think this might be 52 or 53.
Right.
We'll see.
Keep them coming. This is kind of a funny message here. I mean, it's not so funny because it's a serious topic. But one of our liberal listeners in Bozeman, please explain on your show why there would be no war in Ukraine if Trump were president.
Is that a serious question?
Yeah, it's a serious question. I think this guy actually believes that oh, no, if Trump was president, we still would have.
This is such an easy question, Aaron. Putin would not have invaded Ukraine if Donald Trump was the president.
He
period.
Didn't.
Mic drop.
We already saw Trump. I don't know if you remember out there, that listener in Bozeman, but Trump already was president.
Our enemies respect strength, not weakness. We have weakness in the White House right now. Therefore, our enemies are flexing and invading their neighbors. I just don't understand what's difficult about this.
Putin invaded other countries when Bush was president, when Obama was president, and he invaded Ukraine when Biden was president. He didn't invade Ukraine when Trump was president, and Trump actually gave lethal aid to Ukraine. What did your boy Barack Hussein Obama do? He gave them blankets. But seriously, thanks for the easiest question of the day. I mean,
softball.
A tougher question from Chris in Lewistown. So we know that the drug cartels are targeting Native American women and they're trying to marry into families. Given this green card move by Joe Biden to now grant basically mass amnesty, what could be done to prevent the abuse of our marriage laws in Montana to try to gain citizenship? That was an interesting question from Chris in Lewistown.
That's going to be a really tough one, Chris, because when it comes to anything having to do with Indian country or Indian citizens, I'm talking about our Native American populations, the state of Montana has almost zero legal authority. It's not even almost. And anything to do here, I think if the Montana legislature tried to step in and regulate marriage somehow in Indian country and Indian citizens, I don't think it would uphold. I mean, that's longstanding federal law. The feds have legal authority there. The federal Congress would have to act there. We could try at the state level, but I can 99.9% guarantee that gets tossed out in federal court. And I hate to say it, but that would be correct. We don't have authority.
Well, and I think he was more kind of just throwing out the question generally because, you know, we have remote marriages that you can do in Montana. So how would they detect if it's somebody who's not a citizen? Well, that's far too complex to try to regulate that one. And I don't think you'd want to regulate that one necessarily either. It's really still, again, once again, it takes us like what's her face would say, circle back, Saki. We circle back to it. Really, it comes back to the invasion on our southern border and the mass amnesty that Joe Biden and John Tester are about to allow.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, we're back to the Senate race. We're back to the presidential race.
Okay, Wendy in Billings, we'll get to you right after the break. And then we've got John in Kalispell on the phone lines. And you can call in as well, 406-294-0970. Attorney General Austin Knutson in studio.
Studios.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Chris was referring to the proxy marriages. Got another message from him on the Montana Talks app. Kim in Billings says, bless the AG's heart. I am from Oregon, extremely conservative. I love living in Montana. Get rid of Tester and the liberal judges. So there's one of your refugees right there. Jay in Billings, just want to thank Austin Knutson for the good work he is doing on our behalf. Secondly, you have my vote for our future Montana governor. That's 4 years away, though. Plenty of time for all that.
Why do you want to wish that on me?
Yeah. Hey, it's better than trying to get you to run for Congress or the Senate or something.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No interest. No, thank you.
In the Congress or the Senate.
No, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not interested in D.C.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Wendy in Billings. Wendy, are you still there?
I certainly am.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, this is an off-the-subject question. We received in the mail an absentee ballot application, and it says paid for by the Sentinel Action Fund, and it's an application for two people, and it gets mailed back to the Yellowstone County Election Office with a P.O. box here in Billings, and I was just wondering if any other people have wondered what that's about, since we already do mail-in voting.
So you received an application or something for an absentee ballot in the mail that you didn't ask for.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. You know what else was really concerning to me? So, and I'm assuming, one of my kids is underage, is not even old enough to vote yet. He was only 14 at the time. And this left-wing Soros-funded outfit, George Soros-funded Forward Montana Group, sent a postcard with his name on it to encourage him to register to vote at 14 years old. But I'll bet you they bought the list from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks because I took him hunting.
Sure, they did.
You know, yep. So I'm sure that's exactly how it happened. Yeah. It's kind of a Secretary of State / legislative question, but your thoughts?
So, well, I mean, first of all, not uncommon for groups to do that. I don't like it, but it is, at least as far as I know, it is legal for those groups to send you an application to try to encourage you to apply for an absentee ballot. Historically, those absentee ballots have voted liberal. They voted Republican. Or, excuse me, they voted liberal, they voted Democrat. That's why a lot of these groups do that. It was interesting in the 2020 election, that was not the case. We were almost an all-male absentee election in 2020, and the state went overwhelmingly Republican. So that strategy might be changing a little bit, but that's why that's happening. Yeah, people get those applications all the time. I think it's kind of questionable, but it is technically legal under Title 13.
All right, let's go to John in Kalispell. Just a quick few minutes left here. John, listening to KJJR, did you have a quick question or comment?
I do. First of all, I really appreciate what you do for us, Aaron. I know it comes with a lot of work, but you give us information and this forum. My theory is, and I want to pin this on Chester's chest, my theory of why we're allowing this rape, murder, and robbery of our country to that southern border. And it's, when one hand's doing something, watch the other. And so I couldn't understand why all these people coming across would be a vote. Well, I don't believe they are. But what I do believe is they're moving them into areas, especially red areas, where they can pick up that other congressional seat, which gives them an electoral vote. I believe this is, it's insidious. It's going to take time. But I believe it is a move to take over the Electoral College, because that's the one way we're just dead meat.
All right, John, thanks for the call. You know, it is interesting. I think they're moving them anywhere they can get them to. Even Denver, there was a big story about how Denver is moving them to Salt Lake City because Denver's being overwhelmed by illegal aliens. Huh, I thought you were a sanctuary city. But yet, anybody who's getting these illegal aliens is trying to offload them anywhere they can because of the problems it causes.
Not feeling quite so righteous now in Denver, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No, John, I think you make a really interesting point, and I think you're on to something. This is about power, for sure. Liberals, Democrats, they want to hang on to power at any, but by any means necessary. The ends justifies the means to these people. You have to understand, they don't think like conservatives do. We believe in the rule of law. We believe in process. We believe in right and wrong. For a lot of these folks, that doesn't apply. The ends justify the means. Whatever we have to do to stay in power, we will do it because we're right. We're elite. We know better than you do. And obviously, I'm speaking about liberals, not about me. So I think you're onto something there.
You know, that question from the liberal listener in Bozeman, I think it reminded me there's this black rapper in Michigan. He told a reporter, I think it was a Fox News reporter, why he's voting for Donald Trump.
I don't agree with everything about President Trump. I don't agree with 100% everything that anybody does. However, I'm not voting based off of personal feelings. I'm voting based off personal experience. I've experienced Trump as president. I've experienced Joe Biden as president. And I like the way I like Trump as president more.
Makes sense, doesn't it, Attorney General Knudsen?
This is not long division. Folks, was your life better when Donald Trump was president? Or was your life better now that Joe Biden's president? Well, let's just look at finances. Let's look at inflation. Let's look at cost of gas, cost of groceries, cost of consumer goods, cost of a vehicle. Good Lord, there's no question the country was in way better shape with Donald Trump than Joe Biden.
Which is exactly why he's filed 50-plus lawsuits to try to rein in this lawless administration to fight back in the meantime. All right, Attorney General Austin Knudsen, great to have you. Thanks for taking phone calls from listeners all across Montana. You know, there's some politicians too afraid to do that.